From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we continue to let the Bible speak in our studies in the life of Christ on the passage in Matthew chapter 4, where we see Christ, the maker of fishers of men. So stay with us as in just a few minutes we turn to the Word of God. But first we start with our hot topic for today, Till Death Do Us Part. There are opinion polls about almost everything these days. We're not surprised, therefore, to find that 25,000 people from 46 countries worldwide were polled to find out their view on the permanence or otherwise of marriage. What is surprising is that globally, some 70% of people say they believe that marriage is for life. In the West, the United States recorded the highest rate of support for marriage for life, while in Europe, including what are called conservative Roman Catholic countries, there's a very much smaller interest in maintaining the marriage union for life. What are we to make of all this? First, that easy divorce has taken a terrible toll on Western society. Second, that the sexual revolution produced by the rock generation of the 1960s has come to fruition, and its fruit is bitter and destructive. We have increasing numbers of young people who have little or no concept of the uniqueness and permanence of the marriage bond. Cohabitation without marriage, children born out of wedlock, and a host of consequent moral and family problems are a plague to our society. Yet most people say they believe that marriage should be a lifelong partnership. They would like to take seriously the vow to have and to hold from this day forward till death do us part. In fact, despite the dream of a permanent marriage, millions do not stay together, and more marriages are ending up in the divorce courts. There's a world of difference between a dream and a reality, between a hope and its realization. The problem with most marriages is that they start out on an insubstantial basis. People say they fall in love, which is wonderful if they really do. In too many cases, falling in love is just a passing phase of self-gratification. Usually it's based on a mere physical attraction. A physical attraction is a vital part of a good marriage, but there has to be much more than this. The essence of love is giving, not taking, serving, not being served. It has been well said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. There's an even deeper foundation for a good marriage than human love. That is the union of husband and wife in the love of Christ. When a husband and wife are each overwhelmed by Christ's love for them, and each is motivated to serve the other by Christ's love, the marriage will be happy and lifelong. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and following sets forth the way. Gripped by how Christ loved the church with a selfless, sacrificial, and sanctifying love, Christian husbands will be motivated to reflect his love, not because their wives deserve it, but because Christ deserves it, and it is the fruit of fellowship with him. Similarly, wives gripped by Christ's love will reverence, obey, and serve their husbands, not because their husbands deserve it, but because Christ deserves it, and it reflects the wives' fellowship with him. In this way, till death do us part, will be more than a hope. It will be an enduring reality that brings a happiness that lasts for life. Our regular listeners will know that during the month of April, we have been making a special offer of my book on the Lord's Prayer. It comes to you free of charge. There are no strings attached. It's our thank you to our listeners who make this program a part of their day, every day they can, pray for us and before the throne, that the Lord will richly bless His Word wherever it goes forth. Since this week started on Monday the 30th of April, we have extended the offer into this first week in May, so that you may have a last opportunity to avail yourself of our offer of the book on the Lord's Prayer. The book is available to those who write or call or email and simply tell us they would like to have it. So you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may call us toll free at 1-866-877 LTBS 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we trust that you'll be richly blessed as you study the Lord's Prayer. Oh, time for one last study of Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, on the subject, Christ, the Maker of Fishers of Men. For most of the week, we have been thinking of Christ's call to his servants to be fishers of men. Yesterday, we commenced looking at his promise to those servants. And today, we're going to recap a couple of minutes from yesterday's program just to get the full picture and the full force of the Savior's promise, I will make you fishers of men. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus didn't say, I will teach you how to be fishers of men. He said, I will make you fishers of men. There's a world of difference there. You see, that's the power of a sovereign God. Christ, in other words, has the power to effect whatsoever he wills. If he wills it, he puts it into effect. You think that through, that is the mark of absolute deity. And I get great encouragement from this. Christ equips those whom he calls. He equips them. When he calls you to be saved, the devil tells you, you could never keep that, you know. And for once, the devil's telling the truth. You couldn't keep it. But the lie in the devil's truth is this. The Lord Jesus doesn't ask you to keep him. He promises he'll keep you. World of difference. When he saves you, he'll keep you. And when he calls you to his service, he will equip you for that service. I think of people whom the Lord called, and apparently they didn't have what it took for the work of God. I think of C.T. Studd. When God called Studd for most of his life, for most of his greatest works, no missionary society on earth would touch him because he wasn't fit physically. He did his greatest work when man said, you're not fit to do any work. Because when Christ calls, he equips. I think of Jock Purvis, who couldn't get a doctor to say he was fit to go to the field. But he went to the field and he did the work to which God had called him, because in calling him, Christ equipped him. I think anybody who's called to the Christian ministry or to the mission field should feel a great deal of fear. I remember when God dealt with me as a young man, I was dead scared. I did everything I could to escape going into the Christian ministry. Not for the reasons that many people would think. To come into the free church in those days meant you sacrificed everything. You sacrificed your reputation. You sacrificed any good name that you ever had. You sacrificed any prospect you had. You sacrificed any comfort you had. You were going to live in need, in poverty, outside the camp with every man's hand against you. That's what you were called to do. And I have to say before God, none of those things scared me in the slightest way. What scared me stiff was going out and not being able to do the work of God and failing in the Christian ministry. That's what scared me. And I had every right to be scared, I'll tell you. But when God calls, God equips. To have to go and meet people tied my stomach in knots. To have to face people. Something I couldn't do. But when God calls, God equips. And I remember getting before God, and it was a great encouragement to me yesterday, just getting ready to go again on a preaching tour. This was part of my Bible reading. In the 41st chapter of Isaiah, God's great promise of what he would do. I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. I'll do it. When God calls, he equips. And if there are young men here this morning, and I haven't intended to get into this line at all, but I will say it anyway. Some of you young men, God has been dealing with your heart about the service of the gospel, and you've been hearing in your soul the word of the sovereign Savior, and he's saying, follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. Listen. Do not doubt
that Jesus Christ, who calls, also equips. And when He calls you, He will give you the power. That is the ability. And He will give you the authority to do His will. And furthermore, He guarantees the success of the work that's done in His way. I'll make you fishers of men. Notice what He says. He didn't say, I'll make you those who try to catch men. Fishers of men catch men. You're not a fisherman until you've caught fish. I found that out. I used to go out with a friend of mine in the early hours of the morning. I was learning to drive and I did it. He had an NSU scooter. Beautiful 200cc machine that I got to drive. I had no knowledge of fishing, but I'd go along to the riverbank and he was pulling in great salmon, and there was I casting in, and the salmon were laughing at me. And even when I caught the thing in the hook, I couldn't get it in. I'm not a fisherman. I never caught a fish. Neither are you until you catch fish. But Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishers of men. You obey my call to serve me, and I guarantee the success of my work under your hand. I look back on the years in the Free Church, and I look at the motley little crew that the Savior called. Ian Paisley was, 25 years old when the Lord launched the Free Presbyterian Church. John Douglas was about 15. Bert Cook hadn't even come into the church. He was not even saved yet. Just a bunch of young fellows. But what God has done. What God has done. I remember going to the little town of Dunmurry to a congregation that was dead or dying on the vine. Just a little handful of people that shrunk down, discouraged, defeated. Within a heartbeat of the church closing down, I was sent there as a 20-year-old. 3 months after I came into the theological hall, in which 3 months I had had no training for such a work, just thrown in the deep end. I remember going out knocking doors and getting nowhere. I remember going home to my study and crying out to God, Lord, I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried, and I can't do those things. I'm not seeing anything done. And all I could do was pray and preach. Now, we tried other things, but all I could really do was pray and preach. Every time I preached, I exhausted my knowledge of whatever subject I was dealing with. I was as profound as a quarter-filled teaspoon, no doubt. But God began to move, and the church began to build. I remember when I first visited Cabra, we had Sunday nights, two rows of people on each side of the church. 24 people on a Sunday night. When God sent me there, a city boy going into the heart of the country, I was far from confident. I hoped that God was not going to send me there at all. God began to move. We have a great church in Ballymoney today. It is no reflection on me. It is a reflection on the faithfulness of Him who says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'll do it. I will give the success. Christ is still calling. Perhaps he's calling you. He wants you to use all you are and have to fish for men. And I want to finish this morning by simply asking you, has Jesus Christ all there is of you? I was reading about D.L. Moody, his preaching, and a young man, probably a university student, I think this was in England, but he came up to him very superciliously and he said, "Mr. Moody, I counted 18 grammatical errors that you made when you were preaching today." Moody, not a bit intimidated, looked at him and he said, "I'm using all the grammar I know for the glory of God. Are you?" It's a good question. It's reckoned that Moody spoke in person to 100 million people. I don't know how they reached that figure, but that's the figure I've read. An uneducated man who, when he preached, it was said, "That's not preaching." But God had all there was of him. That was it. I was reading about Florence Nightingale, the famous pioneer British nurse. And asked to explain her illustrious life, she said, "Well, I can only give one explanation. That is, I have kept nothing back from God." As you go home, I want you to ponder this question. If the Lord Jesus Christ is our Messiah, if he's our Master, if he's our model, can we look him in the face and say anything less when he says, "Follow me, follow me"? I trust the answer will be, from every young person, from every older person, what it was from Peter and Andrew and James and John: "Yes, Lord, without hesitation, we leave all to follow you, to be fishers of men." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word to all our hearts. And Lord, we pray that the Master himself will come and give his own call. That today men and women and young people will hear the Master's voice. It will not be just a preacher reciting the words of Christ, but it will be Christ himself taking them and applying them to the heart. "Follow me." And God grant that there will be souls today to follow him, be saved, come out in the sight of Christ publicly for the first time in their lives. And others, Lord, who are saved, will get to the place of dedication for service. Hear our cry, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.